Alrighty. Okay, guys, welcome back. Let us start where we are. Let's start where we left things. So where we left everything, I'm just making sure everything is recording. Okay, cool. Where we left everything, I had just shown you this partnership thinking plan. And we looked at the goal, which is, the first thing, resources. The goal is, what is it that you want to accomplish? Number two, what resources do you need to accomplish your goal? Number three is which corporate would be a great partner and why? And then number four is research. Number five is approach. Number six is pitch. We did the first three. When I spoke to Mr. Mike earlier, we kind of did the first three because we looked at what was his goal, what resources does he need, what companies does he want to partner with. Let's talk about research because this is where it gets interesting. So, what is research? I'm going to go back and forth when it comes to the slides that I want to do. So what happens is that what are some of the first things we do before we contact a company? What are some of the first things we do? Or what are the things that we do before we contact a company? So typically what I would do, I would sometimes I may not know what or who to contact because one of the questions that came up was, who do you contact? So sometimes I may not know who to contact within a company. So I need to find that out. I need to find out who I can contact. So what I would do, maybe let me do this with somebody. If you guys don't mind, is there a volunteer who maybe we could do this with any corporate that you, is there someone here who's got a corporate in mind? In fact, all of us on the call, let me ask this differently. I would like us to select one corporate we would like to draft an email to. We're gonna do that right now. So all of us, let's select a corporate we would like to draft an email to. And two, I'd like someone on the call with me to kind of play along around this. Anyone who'd like to volunteer? Anybody?
Old Mutual.
Old Mutual. All right. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. Right. So Old Mutual, right? What would you want from Old Mutual?
Mutual has got a section called property Stockfelt. So,
Property Stockfelts.
yeah.
Okay. So what would you want from them?
I would like to work with them to access their clientele to actually. Because they've got portfolio of investments and properties, so I'd like to do virtual tours and market their properties as well.
Okay. Do you know who to contact?
No, not really. I don't even know if I should go locally or the head office, or I just know that I need to
When you
work with
say
them to talk.
locally, you mean East London, right?
Yeah, East London or should I just go straight to Joburg? Yeah.
Good question. I think it would depend. So what would I do? So the first thing I would probably do, if I don't know who to contact, I would probably just go and Google, maybe Google Old Mutual Property Stock Files. What?
The thing about it is that when I do Google them, it's huge. It seems so big.
When you Google what?
But when I Google Old Mutual Property Stockfelt, the name
What?
that pops up, it seems like it's a big shot in Joburg.
The name
So,
that, oh, the name that pops. Oh, okay, good.
yeah.
So when you Google Old Mutual Property Stockfelt, are you saying you find a name or somebody's name does show up?
Yes, somebody's name does show up.
Okay. I'm actually Googling that as I'm talking to you. So So that's good. That's exactly what I would be looking for. So I'd be looking for any information that I can get, or any, and especially newsworthy information or news-related information on around the topic of interest. Who can join us? Who's the second person who can join me on this call? Because I also want to have a different example. Who would like to be our second volunteer? Because yeah, are we gonna continue, Baban? I'm just writing. I'm just typing on my phone to see what comes up.
Okay, thanks.
Who else can would like to volunteer to play along with me on this? Anyone?
I don't mind, Sia. It's Tony, yeah.
Oh, okay, Tony. Good. So, Tony, give me an idea of a company you might be interested in contacting.
Okay, as I said earlier in my introduction, I'm a social worker, so I want to reach out to the disadvantaged communities regarding specific social work services to the youth. And that
Okay.
specifically is around drug addiction. So I
Right.
want to approach a company called Ullman. It's the largest aluminium manufacturing company in Sub-Saharan. They are based in Pietermaritzburg.
All right. What would you want from them?
Right. Okay. What I want them to do is to adopt my services for the community upliftment.
All
That's what
right.
I want them to as to be a service provider for their community upliftment program.
Right. Okay. So in the case, you see what I've just asked you. I asked you kind of two things. Number one, the company. What is the company? Number two, what do you want from them? And then you explain, right? So
Yeah.
what you want is to partner with this particular company around community upliftment, right? So what I would then do,
Yes.
I'd go on Google, I'd write the company name and say
Yeah.
and write community upliftment
Okay.
or any words that relate to that, you know, community
Yes.
empowerment, social,
Yeah.
whatever, like all of the words
Yes.
that kind of speak to anything that relates to this. And then I would go Google, and then on Google, I would go to the news tab. What am I looking for?
Oh,
This applies to you too, Baba.
okay.
So on Google, you literally go to your normal Google page. When you
Yeah.
search on Google, then you at the top there, you select news. What I'm looking for to Tony and Baba, what I'm looking for, I want to see if there are any news articles that I can find where the company that I'm contact that I want to contact, where they are mentioned around this topic. So it might be a story of them. Let's go with your company, Tony, where you know it was Mandela Day, they went and they donated blankets or they gave something, whatever I can find. Seriously, whatever I can find where it links to them doing something for the community, as an example in this case. And then in most stories, on Tuesday we had someone who's got a PR agency who was in the room and we're talking about this. Every time there's a news story, have you noticed that there'll always be a part in the story where they quoted someone from the company? Have you ever
Oh,
noticed
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be someone who's quoted saying, you know, community is the backbone, society is whatever, right? Like they'll be talking about their values, you know. One of our core values is to look after our community, blah, 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 blah. Right. Whatever they said there that kind of speaks to why helping the community or helping society, why. Whatever they say, whatever they are quoted as saying, I would look at that as a nice way to kind of include as something I can include in my message when I reach out to them. Even if all I'm going to say is that, hi, so and so, I just came across this story where you guys were doing this and that for such and such community. Wow, I really resonate with the values of your company. I like what you said, and then you quote what the person said. Does this make sense so far?
Yes.
What you are doing here, you are basically someone in the room on Tuesday basically highlighted the fact that one of the favorite topics that we all like is a topic about ourselves. There is nothing that people like to talk about more than themselves. Are you guys with me so far? Somebody's
Listening.
microphone has started. I'm getting some feedback from you guys. Someone who's not, who's, is there's something going on their desk or whatever. So it gives me feedback. I get feedback and they are not muted. So just check that out for me, please. Okay. So basically, when you write to somebody, the reality is that people don't know you. You know, when they get an email from you, they don't know who you are. And the best way for people to be interested in engaging or in reading what you wrote, if it's a written message, is if what you are writing to them is interesting to begin with. And usually, if someone writes to you, Tony, or to me, FCR, or to Babana, or to Tabo, or any of us here, if someone writes to us, and the first thing we see in the message is about us, like, you know, hey, Tabo, I really enjoyed watching your talk last week when you were at this place. And that email becomes interesting immediately. And now, what that does, it makes me want to read further. Are you guys with me on this?
Definitely, definitely. It makes sense. It makes sense.
Sure. So, with
Sure.
you, for instance, Babalwa, with a big shot from Joburg, as you were saying, so whoever comes up who's being quoted in the whatever story about, you know, amazing thing that Old Mutual is doing through this stock fell, property stock fell, or whatever the case, whoever's quoted there, it doesn't matter where they are. So that answers your other question. Do I go local? Do I go head office? Doesn't matter. It chances possibly head office, because if it's a decision that affects the broader company, it makes sense that, you know, people locally might say, we don't have the authority. The guys in Joburg are the ones that can make that decision. So rather just go out, go to Joburg. South Africa is a small country. It actually doesn't matter that you're in East London, because what you want to do can be done, can work anywhere within the country. So go head office. So the name that comes up.
See, I found out who was behind all of this. His name is Vusi Temba Matembula. Yeah,
Wow.
he's the yeah, just found out. And he's on every platform, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And I just found a quote of his, "Love is an illusion for the weak. All we need is good sex and money in the
Yeah, okay.
bank."
I probably would skip that
Definitely.
one.
But
Hey,
yeah, definitely.
Lucy, I love this quote. Yeah, I see now. I probably so I would basically so now that we've got the name, so all of us agree that we do the search, and you know there'll be some story that comes up. What if there's no story that comes up? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's no news article that comes up, but there'll always be a piece of information that kind of gives you a bit more than you had before you Googled. That's my point. Google is actually such a powerful tool that we are underutilizing, I think, as people. But let's assume that you do find this story, you do, your name pops up, you don't know who this person is, of course. So what I would then do, I would take that name, you know, I would take that name and put it on a Google browser again, on a Google search. Then I would search, like in your case, Bavana, take Vusi, and I would put his name on Google, see what comes up. What am I trying to do now? You just found that he's on every platform. I'm actually looking for that. I'm looking for whatever else I can find on the person, because that's what creates the context of my outreach. That's what creates the context of my outreach. Is that from your side, Laura? I'm hearing. There's something that I'm hearing that is coming through, and I see the only mic that I can see is yours. And now there's music. I'm not sure where that comes from. I guess I do have the power to mute. Yes, I just use my powers. Okay, right. All right, guys. So what I would then do, I would Google the person, see what more information I get on this person. And usually when you Google someone, what you might find, one of the things you find is their LinkedIn. If you click on it, you go to their LinkedIn account, you actually get to see a lot about the person. Sometimes they write articles, some, you know what I mean? Like you get to get more insight into the person. So the whole point really is to get to know the person you're going to be writing to before you write to them. I hope that makes sense.
Sorry, can I just ask, one thing I just realized about this profile, this guy is like a lawyer, but then it shows Nedbank and then it shows Old Mutual. So I don't know how is it that they work together?
Well, the two companies were related at some point. I'm not sure if it's still the case. Old Mutual was, they actually were one of the shareholders in NetBank at some point. But it could be, I mean, when you say his profile, it could be that he worked at one of the companies at some point and now he's worked. So just see what the link is. Because if it's on his bio on LinkedIn, on his CV where it says, you know, 2005 to 2008, NetBank, this, that, that. Now it's 2020. He's been working at Old Mutual since 2019. So just do a bit of a search to find out why that is. There's a reason it's there. And all of that information should be available there. But anyway, so I hope that answers you. But it's in the bigger scheme of things, it might not be relevant for what you want, that information. And what you just picked up about these two companies. What you're looking for really is to just get to find out more about the person, because when you write to them, you want to write to someone in such a way that you write as if you come from a place where you feel like you know who you are writing to. Because first of all, it's really about you. Because we write differently when we write to people we know. Than we write when we write to someone who feels like a complete stranger. What I find is that if I've done a bit of research on the person I'm going to write to, I always feel like I know this person, even though I've never spoken to them. So I flow better, I flow differently when I write to someone I did a bit of research on. So after Google, depending on what I find there, if I'm not finding a lot of information, I would even also go to the company's website to see what's there. Look at their press releases. You know what I mean? Look at, you know, but you're looking for anything that kind of gives you a nice hook that connects to what you want to talk to them about, you know, because companies tend to release press releases and they would publish those on their sites as well, you know. You know, go to their pages, because some of these pages you'll see community upliftment. Coming back to what Tony said, community upliftment, to see what kind of projects, what kind of initiatives they are involved in. Sometimes information is literally right in front of us. It's just that in most cases, we didn't know what to look for or where to start. So I'm just giving you tools that can help you gather a little bit more intelligence about these companies before you contact them. Google is a good place. Their company website is another good place. Once you've got a name, one way or the other, LinkedIn is always a good place to dig in a bit deeper on the person that you want to contact. And you might find that when you Google somebody's name, other social media platforms that they're in might also show up. I'd probably look at that. I had a client of mine who wanted to reach out to Dis-Chem or one of these companies, one of these retail companies. She wanted to supply them with her products and she wanted to connect directly with the buyer of those types of products for the company. And what she found was that the person for the company that she wanted to reach out to was very big on Facebook, in that she was very active. This executive was active on Facebook. She would post pictures of her family. She would write about her kids and all of that good stuff. And my client product was an organic product, and it was a home base. It was a home product, like cleaning the home, keeping your home safe, but it didn't have dangerous chemicals. So her angle to approach this executive was kind of tied to what she saw on Facebook. You know, she when she wrote to him after we discussed it and we decided to reach out to that executive, her angle was that, hey, so and so, I've been following you on Facebook. I really love the posts that you are making, especially, you know, I see that you're a family person. You're a mother. You've got kids that you love. In fact, that's part of the reason why I decided to reach out to you, because I've got a product that I think, you know, is great to, you know, is safe and whatever, whatever. But how we did that, we actually wrote that in a letter, physical letter, and then she packed a small box of her products, and she sent that letter with the product. It was a small box, nothing too big, and it was couriered to this person, so that it landed on her desk at work. Does that make sense? But the context of that outreach was the information that my client had already gathered. Instead, because if you don't have information, you end up talking about yourself. You see what I mean? Most people, when they approach companies, they just write, "Hi, I'm so and so. Our company has been in existence, blah, 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 blah. This is what we sell. We would like to sell your stuff." And then they get ignored. But it's different when you reach out to somebody starting from something with that, where the context is something they can connect with, something they can relate with, something they can relate to, because it involves them already, or it's something they said. I hope I'm making sense, guys, because I want to get to.
Clear as daylight. I'm actually seeing exactly how I'm going to approach this guy. I'm
Oh,
seeing it.
okay,
Yeah.
good. So far it's making sense. Would you all agree? Is there someone who's probably confused who wants maybe me to elaborate in the case of their own business? Anybody?
But basically, you're saying connect the product to the client, to the person you're going to
I
speak to.
don't like to. I actually don't like to say things like, you know, to basically. I don't like to kind of sum it up with basically connect, because that becomes meaningless for some people. I actually like to be explicit, you know, literally, because sometimes we want to use fewer words, connect product to the client. But what does that mean? If that makes sense, you know what I mean? Like it becomes, if someone was not here for the explanation I just gave, and all we said to them was, well, all you have to do is to connect product to the client, they wouldn't know what I'm talking about.
Don't be
So
confused.
I tend to avoid kind of, you know, oversimplifying things like that. I'd rather be explicit and break it down in my explanation. I hope that makes sense, Babano.
No, it does. It does. It does.
Yeah.
No, but I also understand.
I don't like to just have a shortcut, because I don't always assume that it means the same thing to everybody.
Yeah, no, I think I get you there.
So yes, but so where I'm going basically with this is that sorry, I'm just want to see something. Where I'm going with this is to get have enough information to feel like I know the person that I'm writing to. I know that once you feel like you know the person you're writing to, even when you write to them, you kind of feel like you're writing to someone you know. I don't know if I'm making sense when I say it like. Are you guys
No,
all clear?
I think it makes sense. It makes me more comfortable to write.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about the email structure. And when I say email, guys, it could be a letter. Okay? It could be a LinkedIn message. It could be a Facebook message. It could be a WhatsApp. It could be a WhatsApp message if you've got their WhatsApp number. But anything that is written. So what I recommend is a three-part structure. These three parts are the kind of first paragraph, which is usually just a few sentences, which is all about them. You know how the standard way of writing an email to someone you don't know is to start by introducing yourself? I don't want you to take that approach. I don't want you to just say, hi, Mr. So and so, hi, Miss So and so, hi, whatever the person's name is. My name is. I don't want you to do that, because there's you could because when you introduce yourself, you also want to introduce yourself powerfully. But now you're going to say, I'm so and so. I run this company. I've been in business for this number of years. I've got an MBA. I've got this. Now, you see, it's all about you. And nothing puts people off than even a hint of somebody bragging to them, especially someone they don't know, even worse, someone they don't even care about. Because why would they care? Because they don't know you. So what I want to propose today is that your approach must be them first. So the first paragraph, I'm going to show you how to do this. The first paragraph must be about them. And then you introduce yourself in the second paragraph. They must come first. You come after that. Why are you doing this? The reason you're doing it this way is that the first part of the email or the message, you actually want them to be so interested in reading further. Because if someone says, hey, Sia, my name is Baba Anwar, I came across an article where you were quoted. I came across this article that was in Business Day, and this is what you said. Oh my God, I can so relate to what you said. That's part of the reason I reached out to you today, right? Let's just say someone starts their first opening like that. Then the second paragraph, they say, my name is Bawana, this is what I do, and blah, blah, blah. They talk about who they are, what they do, blah, blah, blah. And then the third paragraph, now they tell me why they write to, why they decided to write to me. What do they want? It might happen that they just want to have a meeting with me next week to discuss X, Y, and Z. So the reason I'm going to read that whole email is because they started by making me smile, you know, by talking about me or talking about my company. Because it doesn't always have to be about the reader. It could be about their company. If their company, maybe their company got an award last week. I saw that you guys were going to, anything that is about them. It's almost like giving them a compliment before you introduce yourself. And then lastly, say what it is you want. But we'll come back to this. So I just gave you a three-part structure. But before we do that, let's talk about what else. We're still doing research, remember. I just went ahead and I kind of gave you an email structure, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We are still on our research. What else do we need? We know a bit more about the company we want to write to. We've found the person who might be the right person for what we want to discuss with that company, but we don't have their email address. Where do we get email addresses? This is what I'm about to show you now. Is these are the tools I use to get email addresses. The first tool, guess what, is Google. So I would Google somebody's name, and I would put name and then put email address. So I would say, let me see here. I'll look at some of your names here. I would say Simpiwe Nhlapo email address. That's just what I would put on Google. I'll take that person that I just found, name, surname, email address. I want to see what Google can find, because, I mean, there's been so many instances, guys, where I got people's email addresses on Google. And I think my email address is probably foundable on Google too, you know, because I've published documents maybe where my email address was, because Google looks at everything. You know, if someone Googles somebody's name and then they say email address, you might find that those names are there. The other thing that I found is that one of the things that I've found in a number of instances, which was interesting, is that sometimes if I Google somebody's name and email and write email address, one of the searches that search results that would come up might even include a PDF. And when you click on that PDF, sometimes it's a list of names. Not just this person, but other people's names and their email addresses. For instance, I remember Googling for someone in the mining sector. I put this person's first name, last name, email address. What comes up? I see a PDF, and I open this PDF. There were over 900 executives in the mining sector with their emails, first names, last names, address, company addresses, head office, contact telephone number. Why were those there? It was because they were registered to attend a conference, and you know their names were there as attendees of this conference. And for some whatever reason, that document was online. And when I searched for this one person, because their name appeared in that document, the whole document came up. And I just downloaded the document. And immediately I had over 900 contact details of executives that I didn't even need, you know. So what I'm trying to say is that don't underestimate the power of Google when you put first name, last name, email address, and see what comes up. Okay, that's number one. Number two, a tool that I love that I use, been using it for years, it's called hunter.io. It's basically a tool that confirms if you've got an email address, you're not sure if it's correct, you could put that on Hunter. Simpiwe, you've got your hand up. I don't know if you want to talk now or it's been up since you joined us. I might have missed it. Simpiwe, over to you, man, before I continue. Okay. Yeah. Oh, there you are.
Yeah. Now, what you just highlighted now, it's very powerful. I never thought that you could actually get context from just typing somebody's name and surname and or email address. That's a very powerful, helpful tool. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. I've been doing it for years. Years and years and years.
Because I was also curious in how you got my email address, because I just found your email one day. I was checking my inbox.
Well, let me tell you, I'm glad you asked. To be honest, I didn't get your email address anyway. You gave it to me. Do you know that?
No, can you please break it down for me?
Okay. So I didn't search for you. I didn't do anything. You probably saw my ad on social media. I don't know what your social media, your favorite platform where you spend most time, but you saw an ad of mine. Why am I getting feedback? Can you mute?
Okay.
Because I keep hearing myself. So you saw my ad, you clicked on it, and there was a part where it says, basically, I talk about corporate partnerships and I said, learn more. So when you click there, automatically, well, the moment you submit, you are giving Facebook in particular or Instagram permission to give me your email address. You actually confirmed your name and last name and email address, and then you press submit. That's how I got, you actually gave me, you know. But what you are asking me is interesting, because I think a lot of people probably have the same question. The reality is that, guys, we all spend a lot of time on the internet. We all click on things without remembering what we clicked on. If, for instance, you clicked on my ad on Friday last week, and I don't email you immediately, and then I email you a week later, you forgot. You completely forgot because you've clicked on so many other things since then. You even forgot that you saw this ad from a guy. Because why would you remember whose ad you saw? Because I was a stranger to you. So that's actually how we got your email. You gave it to us. Isn't that creepy when you think about it?
Yeah, that's really creepy. And no, you're right. We tend to forget.
We do. So that's why a lesson here, by the way, for all of you guys who have got customers or who want to have customers, it's important that you have a mailing list of your customers. I talk about, this is now a side note, not what we're talking about today, but I just want to highlight this point because of that question from Simpiwe. It's important that you build a mailing list of your customers, and guys, do not email people once a month or once a quarter. You know why? Because they'll forget. You need to be emailing your customers at least once a week. Okay? If you really have energy, email them daily, because you start to build. I know it's like, what? Daily people will get angry. Yeah, some people will. And they'll leave, which is perfect, because they should leave. If your information is no longer relevant for them, it's no longer adding value to their life, they must leave. You know, I actually want people to leave. I want people to answer. Every time I send an email, I've got people who unsubscribe. But two things are happening. Some people are, three things. Some people unsubscribe, which is always a small number. You know, we're always worried about people unsubscribing, worried about upsetting people, but it's actually a small number. Take it from me, I've been doing it from since 2006, right? I've been sending emails to strangers since 2006 with their permission, to be clear. I've never added bot names or list of never done that. Every single person I've ever emailed in my list, they gave me their names, their email, because they wanted something from me, number one. So three things happen. One, some people unsubscribe. Some people buy, because sometimes you will have an offer on the email. Guess what? Some people buy. So every time you send an email, somebody buys something. Someone sends you money. Some of you are on this call because you got an email from me. And I said, hey, I'm doing this thing on such and such a day. Somebody, you guys responded and bought, sent me money, purely because you write an email I sent. So that's number two. Number three, even those who don't buy and who don't unsubscribe, what happens is that the relationship gets deeper. They read what you wrote and they're like, I like this, what this guy is saying. I like this guy, you know. And now all of a sudden, they look forward to reading the things you write, to an extent that there are people who actually want you to write to them every day. Because they're always excited by what, every time they see my name, as I'll give myself as an example, there are clients, there are people who are subscribers who tell me that every time they see my name light up in their inbox, they literally just jump to open it because they think to them I'm interesting. They like the things I write, they like the things I say because they find those things interesting for them. You know, so anyway, side note, just based on what Watson Pure asked about how I got his email, I just thought I should add this part that every business needs to have a mailing list. And that mailing list is not just a list you use once to send birthday messages. You should be using that list at least once a week. Talk to people, guys. You know, talk to people. Maybe one day I'll teach a workshop like this that is all about email. How to build your business using email. That would be something cool, wouldn't it? All
No,
right.
very helpful.
Oh.
I need something like that, honestly speaking,
Okay.
because
Well, in the new year, maybe I'll put together another workshop. And then we'll talk about
please do.
everything from subject lines, how to structure emails, just normal conversational emails with your list, all of that good stuff.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
So
you.
these are the tools, guys, that are available. You should take these down. Obviously, Google is obvious. Hunter.io, choose the option at the top there, choose the option of email finder, right? What email finder does, it asks you to give it three things. Let's go with Old Mutual for that Babalwa gave us. So they would want, what is Old Mutual's website? So I think it's oldmutual.com. So you would put that there. You know, every company, you know their website, right? So you just write that. Da-da-da-da-da, oldmutual.com, netbank.co.za, that's what I mean. Then there would then the tool, the platform would ask, what is the first name of the person you are looking, whose email you want? What's the first name? What's their last name? Do you know why the platform wants to know that? Because they already know the structure, because every company has a structure of how they create emails. Some companies would have first name dot last name at oldmutual.com. Some companies will have initial surname, you know, like they would have S Nhlapho at oldmutual.com or Simpiwe dot Nhlapho at oldmutual. So the reason it was the full name and the last name, the first name, last name, and the email web and the company website is so that it could search within that company's database to see if the person's email is available on the internet yet. It doesn't always get it right, but it gets it right more often than not. And not only does it get it right more often, it even tells you the probability of how correct they think that email address is. So they will say, the email address that we find is simpiwe.ntapo@oldmutual.com. We also did find s.ntapo@oldmutual.com, but simpiwe.ntapo is. We are 90% sure it's the correct one. This other one, we are not 100, we're not that sure that it's correct. We are about 45%. Our guess is that we are 45%, which means they might be very wrong about that one. But the one that has got the highest probability chances are it's the correct email. And then if other than hunter.io, you get about 50 of these, by the way, for free every month. 50, you could search for 50 email addresses for free every month, or you can subscribe and pay whatever their fee is. I've never subscribed. I always use the free ones. You can subscribe and pay a monthly fee, which means you get maybe 1,000 emails, 10,000 emails or whatever, right? You guys can go check out for yourselves. The other one is Voila, Voila Norbert. I've used that one as well. The other one is Rocket Reach. I've used that one as well. If all fails, guys, there's still a thing called a phone. You pick up the phone. You call the company. Hey, I'm looking for Vusi Matebula. I want to send Barbara calls. You say, hey, I want to send an email to Vusi Matebula. I just want to make sure that I just want to get the best email address that I could use. They may not give it to you. They may not give it to you. They may say, what's this about? You say, well, it's about, you know, there's information that I think he needs to have or whatever, you know, around, because he's heading Stockfeld, property Stockfelds. There's this information that I want to make sure that I want to send a document, you could even say. Because you're talking to a receptionist. You say, I want to send a document. Then, you know, now they have a choice, a decision to make. Do they want Vusi not to get the document? Or would they rather receive that document on his behalf? So what would happen? Some people would actually give you their own email address. They might give you their own email address for you to send the document to them. So the receptionist might say, okay, maybe send it to me. That's enough. That's good enough. Then they might give you their own details. Say, yeah, my details. Send it to me. I'll give it to him. All of these things, they are advancing your objectives. You know, so you don't have to be married to the idea of getting that person's correct details. As long as there's someone within the company who'd receive that information on the other person's behalf. In fact, I actually prefer that. You know, I actually prefer that second option where they say, send it to me and then I'll give it to them. Why? Because now when I follow up tomorrow or next week, I reach out to the person I spoke to. You know what I mean? You could still follow up and asked to speak to Mary, you know, who was not the person you were looking for, but they are at the reception. Then they know, now they know who you are. You say, hi, Mary, it's Tawa here. Remember, I sent you that email. Can you confirm that you Vusi received it? And what did he say? Now they are the go-between for you. It's almost like they work for you. Isn't that cool? Right? Do you guys like that idea?
No, definitely. It works. It really does. That's what I do these days. If I want to get through to somebody or something, I make sure that I connect with the secretary. It makes my life easier.
No, that's good. That works. Yeah. What about everybody else? Everyone is very quiet. It's just you and I, Baba, and some people who are running this show. Is everybody still awake? What are your thoughts, guys? I mean, you haven't been saying much. Can I ask you, like, individually, is this making sense? Who wants to go on? Hey, Tabo, I saw you there. Bravo, Tabo.
Yes.
Thanks, Sia, and it's a good day, everyone. Yeah, Sia, we're just taking it all in. So thanks for the insights. I mean, I'm certainly on the same page with the advice you're giving. We've been following, obviously, your system since we started engaging, I guess, in October. So it's been a pretty busy period, but I find exactly what you're saying works quite a lot in terms of how to one reach out. I think the model works very well, and it's proving to work very well for us as well.
Awesome.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, as you say as well, I mean, just being able to crawl the internet, you know, to find what you need, to crawl LinkedIn or even Twitter. I think there's a lot of information on how to contact people out there that we should be using, and I'm glad you're sharing some of these other email finders as well. So very useful. I mean, I don't have much to say other than I'm finding the system and your advice to be quite solid.
Okay, man, I'm glad. No, thank you, Tyler. Thanks, man. No, that's it. Really, I think just to add to what you said, I always remind people that we are the year is 2022. This is not 1990. We are so attached to the old idea that it's hard to find people, but it's actually never been easier to find people because people are everywhere, man. They're on social media, their whole lives they live their lives on social media, you know. So people are not hard to find anymore. And I think another idea people are married to is the idea of being introduced, which works very well. We know the power of being introduced; it works. But the problem with that is just it's not scalable, because some of the people you want to reach out to, you don't know anyone who can introduce you. That's why we've got what we are talking about today, so that you could introduce yourself in a powerful way. Does that make sense, Tava? Can you relate to that part as well?
No,
Speaking of
definitely,
introducing
definitely.
yourself to a stranger without having to have a middleman saying, "Hey, Tava's my friend, you must talk to him." Can you relate, yeah, to this thing of just
No, most definitely, see, and also, I mean, I think you have to use everything at your disposal. You know, if you know or someone in your network can introduce you, as you say, that's always first price. But that shouldn't stop any of us from reaching out. You know.
Totally.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've shared one or two, or at least one or so, a great contact I made recently. And that was just literally watching a YouTube video here, understanding the business, and then finding their email address and reaching out to the CEO, you know.
Wow.
And I find as well, I mean, if you write your email well, as you've guided, CEOs are very receptive to ideas, you know, and I found that it's probably better to even go right to the top. And then they would rather delegate downwards and
Always
appoint
works.
and
Yeah.
refer you to someone in their own teams, you know, to take it forward. But certainly reaching out, whether you have an introduction or not, I mean, as you say, we're business people, so we have to be hungry, and we have to go out there and look for what we want. You know, it's not going to come to us.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I couldn't have said it better, Mr. Tao. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome stuff. Thank you, man. All right, so yeah, so that's the thing, guys. We've got all these tools that are available to
Is here.
us.
So can I just ask,
Of course.
are these companies willing to like to assist you to come and introduce yourself to them? Like
Which
let's say you
companies?
like let's say for example this old mutual, I'd like to actually do a pitch in front of this man and tell him about my concept instead of just doing it over the phone or via Zoom. Are they willing to say, let's say, can I come to your head office to come and do a presentation to introduce myself?
The answer to that is that it depends. I mean, it depends on the person you're writing to. It's not a company thing. It's not about the company's willingness. It's about who did you write to, and like what Tabo was saying, how did you communicate? Because if what you communicate is interesting to the person you are reaching out to, and they're interested in hearing what you have to say, then it's a case of, oh, okay, cool, come, let's talk. So it's not a company thing. It's not about, oh, Old Mutual is willing, NetBank is not willing. It's not like that. It's a personal thing. So you can
Okay.
influence that by how you communicate.
That makes sense.
Of
Okay.
course, people, strangers, obviously, when we write to people, remember we are strangers. And people, like all of us, you know, subconsciously, we don't want weirdos contacting us. We don't want people who come across as weirdos contacting us. So we also look for that as people. When someone writes to you, you're like, is this a normal, solid person, or do they come across a little bit weird? Because then you kind of want to avoid, you know. So people are looking for also to protect themselves and not expose themselves to strange characters, you know. But if you come across as a solid business person, as we all should, then people don't we don't we don't give them creepy vibes, if that makes sense, when they read our messages. But if we give them weird vibes, of some sort, they may be reluctant to even respond. Yeah, that's just one other thing I want to add to that, to what you were saying, Baba. Simbiwa's hand is up, so maybe it's been up. I'm gonna lower your hand, Simbiwa, unless you put it up just now, wanting to say something. But righty, guys. So you took all that in. So, guys, when we receive messages from people, when we receive messages from people, we are asking ourselves a million questions about the message. we are asking ourselves a million questions about the message because we don't know. Like I see, I open my inbox and there's a name, there's an email from someone I don't know. You know, I'm like, what is this? Who's this? What's this about? You know, but there are three questions that I always say our emails must answer. Because if our emails do not answer these three questions, we might not get a response. You know, and the questions are, who is this? You want the person who receives your email to have a very clear idea of who you are. Okay. Number two, what is this about? You want that to come through in your email because they are asking, what's this email about? What's this about? So you want your email to answer this question, to satisfy this desire or the loop that opens in somebody's brain of wanting to know what the email is about. So if your email starts waffling and it's a long email that is going in a million directions, telling a long story, people might not read. They must stop reading. I'm like that. You know, if someone writes me a long email and it failed the three parts that I talked about, where the first part is already about them, and then I'm on paragraph number three, I still don't know what this email is about, where it's going, I stop reading. Most people are like that because people are pressed for time. They want to wrap their heads around something quickly, okay? Number three, the question that is important to answer is, why is this person writing to me specifically? Meaning, does this email relate to my portfolio, to my role? Because if you're writing to someone in marketing, but your email is about HR issues, then you wrote to the wrong person. So they won't read. They won't finish reading. They definitely won't respond in most cases. They might respond and say, well, I'm the wrong person. The person to contact is this. It will be because they are really nice, but for the most part, they will ignore it. Why did I say specifically here? Because remember, the question is not why are you writing to me. The question is, why are you writing to me specifically? Meaning, out of 2,000 people who work for this company, why did you choose me specifically? This is why that context we spoke about earlier, that whole research you did about the person, about their department and whatever, all of that stuff, this is where it comes in. Because you want it to be very clear that you didn't make a mistake. This email was not intended for 1,000 other people. You know how people will send an email that you can see is a copy-paste send. You could see it's been sent to 100 other companies because it's very vague. You want people to see that your email is very specific, it's very solid, it's not vague at all, okay? So these three questions, that's what our email approach, our email structure answers. So the first part of the email is about the person that you're writing to, right? Where you, as I said earlier, where, you know, you say, hi, so-and-so, I came across this, or I know that you guys do X, Y, and Z, or I saw this article, or I know that you guys won an award. Make it about them, because it answers the why me specifically, because it quickly narrows down to the person who's reading your email. The second part, it answers the who is this? Who's this? I'm actually going to show you guys examples of emails, okay? I want to show you guys examples of email. So the second part is, who is this? And the third part is, what is this about? This is now where you tell them why you wrote to them and what you would like. Okay? So I want someone else here. Maybe someone I haven't... Someone who's... Because when we did this earlier, I spoke to Tony and Babalu about, you know, the companies that we kind of referenced earlier. I want somebody else who can give me another company, and then let's have a quick draft of an email. I'm going to make it up as I go right here in front of you guys. Who would like for me to draft a quick email for them right now on this call for a company they wish to approach? Just to prove what I'm saying to you and how quick it can be. Maybe not you, Simpiwe, maybe someone else as well, because I think we did talk a bit more about you and what you... I want to get something completely different. But thank you, Simpio. I appreciate your engagement, man. Really, really do. Can somebody else give me another name, company that I can draft an email for?
Yes, yeah, I'll jump in if you don't mind.
Yes, let's do it, Tabo. Thanks.
Yeah, so maybe just by way of background for everyone, we are in the construction space, but we've decided to do it a little differently than approach your, I'm gonna call it bucky contractor model, where you're asking for contracts from either government through tenders or as subcontractors with large developers. So our approach has been to instead raise a fund, a housing fund that is focusing on developing properties in townships and emerging areas. So I don't want to bore you with the detail, but there's a massive housing shortage in South Africa, as you guys know. I think it's probably 7, 8 million units a year that need to be built. So we've decided to raise a 25 million rand fund, which will back emerging property developers, prop tech, build tech startups, and also building contractors. And the reason we've done that is to feed that business back into the construction business as almost a natural client. So the one approach we are taking now is to seek partnerships with large corporates that operate in the township. So you can imagine the list is quite endless, from your ShopRite to Pick n Pay, everybody who's got a store in one of the township malls. And the approach has been not necessarily to ask them for money, but to ask them for offtakes in terms of, if we build a development, will they support it from a from their employees' perspective? So one reach out or campaign we're doing now is to reach out to human resource managers in large corporates, or even directly from the directorships or a C-suite level, to see if we build it, will they put some of their staff in some of these units from a rental perspective? So they I guess the ask here is, drafting an email to, let's call it the head of human resources, or even the CEO directly of ShopRite. I'm going to use ShopRite as an example, to say, we're well aware that there's quite a large number of your staff that live in substandard housing because of the levels they earn. Some of them live quite far from where their place of employment is. So if we partner up with a developer, could we get an offtake from a ShopRite that they would be willing to either rent part of it or to direct some of their own staff into some of these developments? It could be even, private schools that are based in the township. So Curro has got a brand called Meridian that has township schools. So it could be teachers or people who perhaps move from a different area of the country, and they come to teach, say, in Soweto, but they don't have a place to stay yet. So those offtakes naturally help us raise the fund. So if we go raise money from high net worth individual or a
Okay,
family
Tabo,
office,
let me jump in there. Let me you I think
I'm
you've
going
given us
on and on.
I
Apologies,
think
yeah.
you've given us enough. I also don't want you to reveal too much about your business, for obvious reasons.
Sure.
So, but I think you've given us enough for the purpose of this. So how would we
No.
approach something like this? Obviously we'll do the partnership thinking plan, right? Who, what is our goal? What resources do we want? Which company do you want to partner with? Now, what we want to know is, why would this be of benefit to the company? Why would this offering be beneficial to them? One of the things you advanced is people being far away from work. That's an example, right? Okay, please stay unmuted, Tabo, so that we could
Yeah,
have
for sure.
a dialogue. So yeah,
Okay.
so one of the things you advanced is that, people being away from living out, staying far away from work. There are many, obviously, there are many downsides to that. Fuel, as an example, it's one of the most expensive things in South Africa right now. It's becoming very expensive for people to get to work. Salaries, don't increase at the same rate as the fuel price. So it makes sense for people to be closer to work. Number two, safety, if people are closer to work, they don't, chances of them being exposed to danger, meaning they don't have to wake up early, ungodly hours and get mugged. I mean, I remember we had one of our colleagues years ago who literally was mugged on her way to work. And she was still walking from her home. She lives in Dobsonville in Soweto. She was going to catch transport, and these guys clearly were watching her every day, and they, marked her, took her phone, and things like that happen in this country. Strikes, when there's a strike, taxes, whatever, whatever, whatever. So there are all of these things that are realities. You know what I mean? So what you're offering can do could actually mitigate and reduce, exposure to some of those things, which might be in the best interest of the company from even from just a productivity point of view, and also just from a company caring for its own people. Am I on the right track here, Tom?
Yeah, spot on. I think the other big thing is obviously the corporate citizenship,
Sure.
you're spot on. And that's also a big factor to this as well,
Charity
yeah.
begins at home, because when we say corporate citizenship, we usually just think about co companies usually think about this just from a society point of view. But what about their own employees? So it's interesting you tied that in there, because it's usually not tied in there because they tend to look outside of the organization. But yes, charity does begin at home. So now we've got a bit of all of this background. Now, this is just us, right? This is our own case that we want to make, but we still need to find what is their attitude towards, I'll go with what you started with, corporate citizenship. What is their attitude towards corporate citizenship? What is their attitude about, our employees, our most valuable asset? All companies say those things. So what are they doing, for instance? What is like something that's on the news about them, empowering their employees? Because those are things you want to latch on, because you want to connect with a company that is already facing the direction you want to go, so to speak. They already indicated that they care about their employees. They are introducing this thing for employees, employee share scheme, employee this, whatever, anything that kind of, even if it's not directly aligned with what you're saying, but as long as it revolves around that beneficiary who's an employee, you could then lump this on that. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah, makes perfect sense. Thanks. Yeah.
So an outreach basically would be now to the person, let's assume we already got the name. It would be, hey, so and so, I came across, this. I see that you guys are one of the few companies in South Africa that really care about the employees. I was really inspired to see this, to come across this story. It could even be an old story, by the way. People also ask me, does it have to be a new story? Not at all. It could be 2015. That, I know it's an old article, but you guys said this in 2015. It doesn't matter, because it shows, because that news is just historical, but it still speaks to the values of that organization. So, for instance, right? So you say, this is us, I came across this is what you said. Especially if it's the person you're writing to, you write what they said, you quote them. And then the next thing you say, oh, my name is, then you introduce yourself. I'm Tabo. I run this company, and this is what we do. This is what's important. This is what we care about. And then the next paragraph is, I've got an idea. I've got an idea that I think might add a lot of value to our organization. If you might be open to hearing, to hearing more about it, that really. I'd appreciate a few minutes of your time next week on this day at this time, specific Wednesday at 11:20, 11:15 for just 15 minutes. If you'd be open to it. But the whole thing is that you want to come across as somebody who's bringing value to this person. The fact that you say you've got an idea that could add value to them in whatever way it could add value. What that does, it says to the person, this is somebody who's bringing value to me. It doesn't say this is someone who wants something from me. You're not
Correct.
pitching on the email, but you've laid a nice foundation of that shows your understanding of that organization and things that are important to them that relate to what you wanna, to what you do, basically. And also, you're not asking for too much. You're not saying an hour, you know, you're saying a few minutes, you know. So that kind of does tip the scale for people, because when they think about giving an hour to a stranger, you know, some people will, without a doubt. But 15 minutes is kind of like, I could make myself a cup of coffee at that time and listen to what this guy has to say.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, yeah. So we always start with them, where we are very positive about them. Then we introduce ourselves, because by starting by them, we are actually buying their attention for the rest of your message. Because now we've got them interested. Nothing is more interesting, as I said, than the topic of myself if someone is talking to me, or than the topic of the person if the topic is about the person you are talking to. You know, people love talking about themselves. Let me just put it like that. So why not start by talking about them first? You know, so your email would kind of follow that path. When we come back from lunch, I will share some of the emails. For instance, Mike's email. I saw you send me an email, Tabo, where you got some really a good response. I didn't get to read it. I saw it this morning. I didn't get a chance to read it, but it looked interesting. I just skimmed through it. If you would be open to it, we could just remove company names and all of that stuff. If you'd be open to it, maybe I could just share with people a real case study, because your email got a response if I read it correctly.
Yeah, I'm more than happy, as long as, of course, you, as you say, blocking out the company, the people, etc. More than
I'll delete all those things in advance during the break. I'll just delete those things. I'll just leave out the generic stuff. I'll leave out people's names, companies that you approached, and anything else that I feel is a bit sensitive, I'll just remove. Just to get these guys a feel of what kind of emails do get response. Not just what I say, but also from somebody who's here, who's doing it. Does that make sense?
Happy. I'm more than happy to share. Thanks.
Okay, man. Okay, cool, guys. So that's what we're going to do. Let me just see what else I've got here. I guess that's that. So the next step from here will be to draft. So what I've got for you guys, I'm going to show you a couple of emails. What I suggest, and also I'm also going to show you emails that deviate from that, you know, that are different. I'm going to show you an email from Tuesday from one of my clients who was there on Tuesday. His email is different to what I was saying. And I had to kind of guide him as well, because he hadn't seen the structure at the time. This was the first time he worked with me just to come to that event. He had already drafted an email, and I had to kind of correct certain things. So we will correct that email together, because now you guys are learning this. Just to test that you guys, for you to test yourselves, how much of this has really landed for you, if that makes sense. So that's what we're going to do. And then after that, I'm going to teach you some other cool stuff. So we're not going to draft our email today. We did lose a bit of time because of the little incident I had earlier. But what I would like you guys to do is to actually draft your emails. After I've shown you the examples today and I've drilled you on the three parts of the email like I just did, I'd like you to show, to draft your own email sometime today, tomorrow, or over the weekend. But please do send it to me so that I can help you. And then you will have that really nice email. One of those, we're going to do it this now with Mike's email. He's already sent me his draft. So we're going to finalize his draft right here with you, so that you will see real examples of this. Is that okay, guys?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, cool. All righty. I think we should go for lunch break. And then we'll be back at 1:45. I promise I'm going to make sure I don't lock myself out this time. Okay. Okay, guys. Let's take a break, and then we'll reconvene here at 1:45. Okay. Same link again. Cheers, guys. Later.